You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool.
Lay me down in Dixie, let the world go by me. I'm gonna stay right there till Gabriel calls. Pull your dreams around me, wrap me in your memories. Lord, I love Dixie most of all. Somewhere in that land where a warm sun is shining, somewhere someone's speaking in a soft southern drawl. Lay me down in Dixie, where they understand me. Lord, I love Dixie most of all.
You know what, folks? A listener in Sarasota, Florida emailed me that song a few days ago and said it reminded him of TPC, and I'm so glad he took the time to be so thoughtful, because if you can believe it, I had actually never heard that song before. What a wonderful, touching song with such heartfelt lyrics by Johnny Cash and his daughter, Cindy Cash. That was a father-daughter duet. Great harmonies. And y'all are so great, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. TPC listener. And what an appropriate song tonight as we kick off this evening's live broadcast of TPC this Saturday, July 31st. Saturday, July 13th. It is Nathan Bedford Forrest Day in the state of Tennessee. Now, I didn't make that up. It actually is, by official proclamation of the governor of the state of Tennessee, Bill Lee. Today is known and observed as Nathan Bedford Forrest Day. If it was up to me, every day would be Forrest Day. But we want to thank the governor, Bill Lee, for proclaiming today as such. And I will read now from that official proclamation. Whereas Nathan Bedford Forrest is a recognized military figure in American history and a native Tennessean, now therefore I, Bill Lee, governor of the state of Tennessee, do hereby proclaim July 13th, 2019 as Nathan Bedford Forrest Day in Tennessee and encourage all citizens to join me in this worthy observance. Well, we're with you, governor, and to show you so, we're going to dedicate tonight's broadcast of TPC to the memory of the great Lieutenant General Nathan Bedford Forrest of the Confederate States Army. General Forrest, this show is for you. We hope that we will bring you honor tonight. And we do have a lot to cover this evening. We're going to talk more about today being Forrest Day in the state of Tennessee. So thankful to live in a state that still remembers its greatest heroes. And Gene Andrews, the caretaker of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Boyhood Home in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, will be with us in the third hour to dig a little deeper on Forrest Day and the backlash that is coming against that great American from the usual suspects. But before we get into any of that, the former town manager of Jackman, Maine, Mr. Tom Kaczynski, will be back with us to help us determine whether or not we have a dog in the next presidential election as it stands right now. He's going to handicap President Trump versus the Democratic field in this early part of the election cycle. That's coming up. Keith Alexander and I in the first hour are going to break down this week's biggest headlines and current events. That's a busy show. Headlines, events. Tom Kaczynski breaking down where we stand in the presidential election cycle today. And in the third hour, Nathan Bedford Forrest Day. We're going to celebrate it a little more with Gene Andrews. But let me first thank you, TPC family. Let me get this out of the way. First and foremost, I never cease to be amazed. I know I say this. It continues to be true. You inspire me so much. The amount of love that this radio show receives from our most loyal listening audience, the support that you showed during our second quarter fundraising drive last month made such a tremendous impact. It has propelled us forward with a full head of steam. And it's not just the much-needed financial support that uplifts those of us here in the studio, but also the touching correspondence that we receive every day from listeners across the country and around the world in the forms of letters, emails, handwritten notes, cards, greeting cards even. We cherish with great pride the fact that enough people care about this show to share with us their hopes and concerns. And in many cases, as has been mentioned before as well, audience members share with us the intimate details from their personal lives, whether it be a marriage, the birth of a child, a divorce, or even a death in their family, an illness in the family. To know that our labor and our sacrifice, now this comes from the heart, ladies and gentlemen, so I want you to listen, to know that the labor and sacrifice that we put forth here continues to touch the very best of people in this country. Those of you who listen to this broadcast, to such an extent that you would share with us what's going on in your lives, is truly an honor, and what a privilege it is to be part of a community that is so connected and close-knit. We celebrate together. We struggle together. We work together, and we hope together. And those of you who contribute to our work financially are due credit for giving us the ability to reach the wider audience. And you are a stakeholder. Those of you who contribute financially to this show are a stakeholder in the positive impact we continue to make in the lives of your fellow listeners. And as such, I hope that those of you who contributed $100 or more last month will have by now received your incentive gifts, which were mailed out earlier this week. I think all of the domestic listeners should have theirs by now. Maybe a couple of stragglers will still get them on Monday. International donors, they are en route, so don't worry. You may have to wait a few more days, but they are in the wind, as it were. The first item you're going to receive, of course, is that audio CD we did with the former chief of police in Montgomery, Alabama, Drew Lackey, talking about another view of the civil rights movement. And you're also going to find some classic memorabilia from my 2002 campaign for the state of Tennessee, the state house, the state legislature here in Tennessee. As we continue to celebrate 15 years on the radio, I thought we would look back on the journey now 15 years in. And that campaign starter pack, if you will, makes a nice keepsake. I hope you'll find. I did get some feedback about it, letting me know that folks seem to appreciate it. There was a little bit of confusion from some people thinking that I was currently running. No, I'm not running. That was from 2002, but it was some of the material we used. And you've heard me talk about that campaign before. You know that this ambition and drive that I have that led me to win nearly 20% of the vote as a 22-year-old independent candidate, a kid running in a race against the Speaker of the House. You know, of course, we were disappointed we didn't win, but 20% of the vote as a 22-year-old independent, I mean, that's unprecedented. But it was that drive now coupled with your support that has also led to unprecedented accomplishments for us on the AM radio dial. And that's, again, the journey, starting with Buchanan, then my campaign. There were no shortcuts that led us to the studio. We had to go through each phase of the evolution. But I know that my fire still burns hot, and we're going to continue to triumph together, so long as you deem our efforts worthy of your support. So I appreciate you folks. You know that. I want to thank you again for the support you showed us last month and every month, truly. We're never going to give you anything but our very best. Thanks again for keeping us on the air. And by the way, those of you do a copy of the Occidental Quarterly, they're running a little bit behind, getting all the announcements out of the way. We got a busy show. I'm getting them all out of the way right now. So those of you still do a copy of TOQ, you're going to get it in a couple of weeks. They are on the way to me, but the printer was running behind. So there you go. Now, that Drew Lackey CD that you got, you know, one thing, I listened to it twice this week. I've been doing a lot of driving in the car, and I listened to it twice. And it was interesting, because that wasn't the best CD in terms of the precision of the broadcast. The broadcast was good and the content was good, but that was a show we did back in 2008 before we really had all of the good equipment that we do now. Back then, we thought the equipment was good. That's before we got picked up by the Liberty News Radio Network and found out what good equipment really sounds like. So it's not the best audio quality in the history of TPC, but I hope that you'll enjoy hearing Bill Rowland and Drew Lackey, first-hand source. I listened to it twice this week myself. And anyway, that's there. Some campaign memorabilia. A listener in Florida, Hank down in Florida, said the campaign memorabilia was alone could have been the incentive. Well, I'm glad y'all liked it. Okay, we got to take our break, our first break of the night. Announcement's done. Time to get to work. Keith Alexander's with me, and he's going to be coming your way next.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly. But I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Lay me down in Dixie. And when they come to take me, you know that I'll be ready when you call. For I have seen the daylight, so I do not fear the midnight. Lord, I love Dixie most of all. Somewhere in that land where a warm sun is shining, somewhere someone's speaking in a soft southern drawl. Lay me down in Dixie, where they understand me. Lord, I love Dixie most of all. Yes, Lord, I love Dixie most of all.
Well, me and you both, Johnny Cash, what a great song. Thanks to John and Sarasota for sending us that tonight on Nathan Bedford Forrest Day in the state of Tennessee by official proclamation of Governor Bill Lee. July 13th, 2019 at the Nathan Bedford Forrest Day. And Keith is making a lot of news, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Nathan Bedford Forrest has been in the news now for several years around here. And now the governor of Tennessee is trying to make a minimal effort to mend fences with the people that supported and voted him into office, people that support recognizing Nathan Bedford Forrest as a great man. And, of course, the opposition, which has been emboldened by their victories in taking down his statue and Jefferson Davis's statue in Memphis, is coming at him hammer and tong.
Well, there's a lot of media manufactured backlash on this, but the fact of the matter is the state of Tennessee, by official proclamation of the governor, has declared each July 13th to be Nathan Bedford Forrest Day for over 50 years. So this isn't something that the current governor, now in his first year of his first term, Bill Lee, just cooked up. This was something that every governor of Tennessee for the past 50 years has done on July 13th. And you say, well, why July 13th? Well, July 13th is, in fact, Nathan Bedford Forrest's birthday. It was on this day in 1821 that one of the greatest Americans, Nathan Bedford Forrest, was born in rural Middle Tennessee. So that is why it is done, and it's been done every year. But this year, for whatever reason, the media is really apoplectic about it. And in all of the press that I've seen, it's they find one or two sitting elected officials to gripe about Forrest, and they mention that he was, of course, nominally affiliated with the original incarnation of the Ku Klux Klan, and that's pretty much the whole story and how bad it is, of course. But here's the fact of the matter. And I saw Ted Cruz did this. Ted Cruz was saying, this is wrong. Nathan Bedford Forrest was a Confederate general and a Democrat. Going back to the whole Democrats were the real racist type of BS argument that these fake conservatives use. Well, the Democrats actually stood up for their people back then. I would have been a Democrat in the 1800s. So that has nothing to do with anything. And they were saying Ted Cruz is saying Tennessee should change the law. Well, to that I say, proud sons of the South will always honor the memory of General Forrest, who fought for his people. Forrest fought for you, ladies and gentlemen. The Republicans, like Ted Cruz, failed you. And when the day comes, Nathan Bedford Forrest will be remembered. Nobody will remember Ted Cruz, but somebody else on Twitter put out this, Keith. Nathan Bedford Forrest, a hero of the South, one of the greatest men America has ever produced, is under attack by conservatives like Ted Cruz. Ultimately, conservatives stand side by side with leftists in opposing any white man, past or present, who stood up for his people, and that's the truth.
Well, Bill Lee needs to do like the governor of Mississippi did back around 2002, 2003, and put the whole matter of whether or not we need to honor Nathan Bedford Forrest to a statewide referendum. And I guarantee you the result would be exactly the same as it was in Mississippi about whether or not they should remove the Confederate flag emblem from the state flag. At least two-thirds of the people would vote for honoring Nathan Bedford Forrest. At the most, one-third would vote against it, probably less than that. But the left doesn't care because they control the media. They control all the megaphones and microphones. And they think that they can basically create public opinion out of thin air. But they can't. And if you left it to the people would come down squarely on the more conservative side of the issue each and every time.
Well, let me tell you, Keith, we talked about this before the show. Keith's out of town tonight. He's been on vacation, and that's why he's over the phone and not in the studio. But I was talking to Keith before the show started, and I said, yes, what Keith's saying is exactly right. If they put this to a public referendum, had a statewide vote on it, I guarantee you the vote to keep the Forrest Day proclamation in play would pass by approximately the same amount of the vote that Trump beat Hillary by. So probably about 65 to 35 would be my guess. It would win overwhelmingly and in a landslide. But here's the interesting thing, Keith, the news you'll only get here on the Political Cesspool. We have reported on this before, and not that it matters much, but Confederate soldiers like Nathan Bedford Forrest, Confederate soldiers, sailors, and Marines who fought in the War of Northern Aggression were made U.S. veterans by an act of Congress in 1957. It was U.S. Public Law 85-425, Section 410, which was approved by Congress. This made all Confederate veterans equal to all U.S. military veterans. So what these people have a problem with is the celebration and veneration of a military veteran who, in the eyes of the law, is no different than someone who would have served in, say, the Revolutionary War or the Vietnam War or World War One or Two, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that that's interesting. One of our friends, Gerald, down in Dallas, wrote, will Congress repeal this law making Confederate veterans American veterans? After all, we're told every day, and now with this latest row over General Forrest, that these people were traitors, blah, blah, blah. And I said it's a good question, but of course we live under a government that already picks and chooses which laws to enforce based on political correctness. My guess is they'll just ignore the law. In fact, I bet there's not 10 people in Congress today that know that that is even a law, that Confederates like Nathan Bedford Forrest are due all the rights and privileges and honor of a U.S. military veteran. But of course churches do the same thing. And justly so, and rightly so. In fact, in my mind, they're superior. But most churches do the same thing with regard to biblical mandates. So I say, abjure the realm. That's what we do here. It's not our government. It's their government. And that's why we celebrated when Congress denounced us on this radio program. It's not a North versus South thing either. If you live in the North or in the Midwest or the Mountain West or the West Coast, it's not your government either. And, of course, the Confederates were right, and the Southerners from the 1950s and 60s were right, and they're being proven more and more right every day. But Nathan Bedford Forrest is a hero. But, Keith, to you very quickly, your thoughts on that law, that under the law, Nathan Bedford Forrest is due this just respect as a military genius.
Well, never settled in the eyes of the left. What is discouraging is not that Democrats and leftists are opposed to Nathan Bedford Forrest or other Confederate luminaries. What is really discouraging is when Republicans who have been elected by the same people that venerate these people turn on their base and go after them, like the mayor of Memphis, Jim Strickland, who told me to my face when he was running for mayor that he was opposed to taking down the Confederate statues. Once he gets elected, he throws his supporters, like me, under the bus without a second thought. In Florida, the governor, Ron DeSantis, a Republican governor, who squeaked by in a very close election against his Democratic opponent, he has decided to remove the statue or the bust of Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith from Statuary Hall in D.C. and to replace him with Mary McLeod Bethune's bust. He's commissioned one to be made by some Italian artist. And these are people that are supposedly the conservative alternative. There's, a lot of people said, well, there's not a dying sort of a difference. You need to stop supporting people like Ron DeSantis, Jim Strickland,
and Ted Cruz. Yeah, Ted Cruz. Yeah, same thing. Exactly. All right, hold on right there, buddy. I know you're on a cell phone. It's kind of hard to hear the music when it starts when you're on a cell phone. We are going to take another break. Another word or two about this, and I got a couple of other stories I want to cover with you before the end of this hour when we get to Tom Kaczynski and then Gene Andrews. Busy show tonight. Stay tuned, folks. Keith Alexander's coming back with me next.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Trump touts his new trade agreement in Wisconsin. With the story, here's USA Radio's Rick Benson.
President Trump in Milwaukee pushes for the USMCA, a new trade agreement between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. The president says he backs domestic businesses and their employees.
To ensure that all citizens can thrive, the modern economy as we know it, I'm thrilled that Lockheed Martin has committed to providing apprenticeships and workforce development opportunities for 8,000 of our great citizens.
The president calls on Congress to approve the agreement, bashing previous administrations for their trade policy.
There's a new champion at Wimbledon as Simone Halep knocked off Serena Williams, stopping her from winning her 24th Grand Slam title. Halep got her first 6-2, 6-2 for her second major championship. Halep said that was the best match of her life. This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Bank of America was recently named Best Bank for College Students by Money Magazine. With so many new and returning students preparing for the start of the school year in the weeks to come, it's critical to have the right bank account for student needs. April Schneider, Bank of America.
It's very important to build a strong financial foundation early in adulthood. At Bank of America, we're committed to helping students start off on the right foot by providing them with best-in-class products like the Advantage Safe Balance Banking Account, along with educational resources such as Better Money Habits.
Bank of America's Advantage Safe Balance Banking Account allows students to bank without the worry of overdraft fees while providing them with full mobile access to their account. Eligible students under age 24 also don't pay a monthly maintenance fee. This account was named Best Student Account by Money Magazine and is used by over 1 million clients. For more, visit bankofamerica.com. That's bankofamerica.com.
The mystery of a 1983 disappearance of the 15-year-old daughter of a Vatican employee took yet another twist following evacuations at Vatican City's cemetery. The Vatican said it had discovered two sets of bones under a stone slab that will be formally opened next week. The new discovery came after the Vatican on Thursday pried open the tombs of two 19th-century German princesses in the cemetery of the Pontifical College in hopes of finding the remains of Emanuela Orlandi. Her family had received a tip that she might be buried there, but the tombs turned out to be empty. Searches continued, and Vatican spokesman Alessandro Gissati said further searches had been centered on the areas adjoining the tombs. He said investigators had located two sets of bones under a stone slab manhole. He said the area was immediately sealed off and would be opened only in the presence of forensics experts on July 20th. Her case has been one of the enduring mysteries of the Vatican, kept alive by the Italian media and a quest by her brothers to find the true answers. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Keith, there's a few other stories I want to cover with you this hour that are not related to this, but this is just such a part of our fabric here at TPC, standing up for our Southern heroes, standing up for our Southern ancestry and patrimony, that we really wanted, on Nathan Bedford Forrest's birthday, on Forrest Day here in Tennessee, we want to spend a little time talking about this. And on this line, I've got a good news story and a bad news story. Which one do you want first? And they're both very quick.
Let's have the bad news first.
Okay, I was hoping he was going to say the bad news. Well,
no. Okay, I figured you would. That's why it normally goes.
Yeah, let's get the bad news out of the way so we can focus on the good. Well, there was a new law passed. That, you know, we're talking about the law here that mandates the sitting governor of Tennessee to declare each July 13th Nathan Bedford Forrest Day in the state, and to encourage. I think he encouraged all citizens to join him in the observance, which is of course what we're doing here tonight. But there was a new law that is up in legislation that is going to ban United States military institutions from naming, let me see how they put it, from naming, this was just introduced, by the way, from naming any military installment, equipment, or weaponry, or ships, for Confederate leaders. Now, if that is a nonsensical law, a waste of time if there ever was one, please tell me what more you can think of that is more in line with virtue signaling and wasting of taxpayers' time, because I don't think there's been a big rush to name any military bases, equipment, or ships after Confederate leaders in the last few decades. Keith? But nevertheless, there's some new legislation.
I'm glad that they're not naming any new installations of the U.S. military after Confederate heroes. I don't want the transgendered, homosexual, friendly.
That's a good point. Good way to look at it.
Being named after a good Christian gentleman like Robert E. Lee, for example. And
that is a great way to look at it.
So consequently, I applaud that. Until they straighten out the U.S. military, they've worked the kinks into it now, and quite frankly, I don't think that any of the Confederate heroes need to have their reputation sullied by being associated with what the U.S. military has become under political correctness. Hopefully,
there you go. So someday. We want to thank the Yankee government for making it to where our Confederate heroes can remain unsullied by their names going on these bastard ships and military installations. So that yeah, you know what, we turned that into a good news story there. Thank you, Keith, for doing that.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they can continue today.
Harvey Milk, if they want to. Okay?
That's right. That's what I said on Twitter. They can continue naming things after Harvey Milk. Now that Harvey Milk versus Nathan Bedford Forrest, I don't know. Let's see. Anyway.
Nathan Bedford Forrest over Harvey Milk. All right.
Well, here's the better news story. I guess you could say in some ways that's a good news story. Here's a better news story. So, you know, Gene Andrews, our good friend, the caretaker of the Nathan Bedford Forrest Boyhood Home, we're going to continue this story. We're going to circle back to Forrest Day in the third hour. He's going to be with us. Here's a good news story. There is a young man named Brandon in Colorado, and he's in his 20s, and he just got married, okay? He got married about a year ago, or a little over a year ago. Anyway, he's been a longtime listener of the Political Cesspool. And as a result of some of our Confederate History Month series over the years, when he got married, he and his wife honeymooned to the Virginia area to tour some of the battlefields. Now, this is a guy that has no Southern roots that he's aware of out in Colorado, but so moved by our Confederate History Month coverage that he took his honeymoon out to Virginia. Well, now it's their 1-year anniversary, if I'm understanding the situation correctly. And he contacted us again a couple of weeks ago, and they're going to spend their 1-year anniversary later this fall in the Western Theater of the War Between the States. And he asked if we would put him in touch with Gene Andrews, because they would have loved for Gene to give them a personal tour of the Forrest boyhood home. And, you know, here at TPC, we're all about people helping people. We put those two together. They are in touch, and that's going to happen. So can you believe that, Keith? The listener in Colorado, who, as a result of our work, has become a supporter of the Southern cause, and is actually not only spent his honeymoon touring battlefields, but will be spending his 1-year anniversary getting with our guest, Gene Andrews, one of our favorites. That is an incredible story, I think.
Give light and the people will find their own way. And quite frankly, when all the wrong people are taking a particular position, that makes people figure out quickly that what they're against is the right position. So my hats are off to that young gentleman from Colorado who decided that the Confederacy probably is worthy of veneration after all, because the Confederacy has all the right enemies in today's world.
Well, it just goes to show a light in the darkness can do a lot, and we're so thankful to Brandon and for his wife for their support, and he has been a financial contributor to this show for some years, but to have had that level of impact is again a rare honor, but it's a testament to the community that we build here with our audience. And I just want to say too, because you can read all of these horrible stories about Nathan Bedford Forrest, and what a shame it is that there is not one media outlet in the country tonight, in the world indeed, the mainstream media, that is going to stand up and say, no, Forrest was a man worthy of our honor, and we do stand with Forrest. There is not any but one, only one, on the establishment mainstream airwaves, the Political Cesspool, right here. We are the only media outlet in the world that exists that is standing up for what's right. And if you are a fan of General Forrest, help us shine a light on the injustice that has been befallen his grave. You know, I was on that TV show, taping for that TV show. It's going to reach 3 million people in a few weeks when it airs. And they said, you know, let's do a scene with you laying the Yankee, well, they didn't call them the Yankee flags, but the flags on the graves. And I said, it was Memorial Day. I said, no, let's do a scene where I'm laying flowers at the grave of Nathan Bedford Forrest, and I'll tell you about how great this man was. And that's going to go out to 3 million people. Folks, if you support General Forrest, please support us as well. I know we just had a successful fundraising drive, but look at what we're up against. Look at all of the media coming down on Forrest, and only one standing up for what's right. Support us.
Well,
please,
you know,
support us.
It was Teddy Roosevelt, former President Teddy Roosevelt, who said, "A man who will not defend the graves of his ancestors is beyond redemption."
Well, that's absolutely right. So hopefully we will be redeemed, and we will continue to stand up for the great heroes. They fought for us, and now we're fighting for them. We'll continue this in the third hour as well. Well, there's one more thing, Keith, I want to read to you very quickly. This was a pretty interesting email that we got. Hi, James. This comes in, the title of this email was Doo-Wop Reverie. When people ask me if I miss New York, I say, yes, New York in 1957. This is a guy who was born and raised in New York. So many times I've had to explain to foreigners that America in the 1950s was not the dark, paranoid, nightmare world beloved of Hollywood script writers and certain cultural pundits. It was a technicolor world of infinite possibility. Hell, in New York City alone, we had Duke Snider, Willie Mays, and Mickey Mantle all playing center field. Working class fathers working one job without overtime, could afford to feed, house, and clothe their families and own cars and take vacations, and their wives didn't have to work. I know, because my family was like that. And far from being a prudish time, it was the sexiest decade I've lived through. Even as a kid, I could sense that men and women had healthy passions for each other. And the baby boom is the proof. Are there any of today's slut stars as womanly as Donna Reed? Forget about it, he writes. This is a native New Yorker writing in response to last week's show where we had Lacey Lynn talking about the 50s. Our friend John writes, the 50s was a golden age for all forms of popular music. I grew up in Brooklyn where boys stood on the street corner under streetlights and serenaded the neighborhood with doo-wop, and the toughest kids always had the sweetest voices. Were the 50s perfect? Of course not, but if I had a time machine. And that comes from John up in New York, Keith.
Well, you're not alone in your veneration of doo-wop music, obviously. I'm glad to hear that we've reached out and made more fans up in the Acela card.
Well, and he's also right about the toughest guys being doo-wop singers. You know, that was the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. They were actually in their early 30s when they had their first hit, Sherry, back in 1962. Most people, when they have big hits, you know, in pop, they're in their late teens, early 20s. Well, the thing with the Four Seasons were they were always going to jail. They were, you know, petty criminals. So when one of them would go to jail, they'd have to wait, and, you know, they couldn't resuscitate the band until he got out. When he got out, another one would go into jail, and so it didn't all finally hit for them until they were in their early 30s. They had to lie about their age because they would have been too old to be a hit with the kids at that time, but it all worked out in the end. You know, me and Keith, we went to see Jersey Boys together when it was at the Orpheum here in Memphis and had a good night doing that. But that's true. Some of the toughest guy had those.
Is the South's foremost fan of the Four Seasons. There's no doubt about it.
Well, that's absolutely right. We got some mail from Bruno down in the Tampa area. And Bruno sent us some stuff to review, encourages us to keep up the good work. And then we've got Philip from Alabama. Thank God for your great program and for introducing us to all the other great writers and speakers in the movement. Philip, thank God for you. And we got some great guests coming up tonight, Tom Kaczynski and Gene Andrews. One more segment with Keith Alexander. It's going to be an interesting segment. Let me just tell you that. We're going to cover, well, I'm not even going to tease you. Just stay tuned. You'll hear.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, a few years ago, the political cesspool had a cult following, if for no other reason than we covered the criminality at Chuck E. Cheese. There were some people that tuned in just to see what was going on at Chuck E. Cheese back in those early years. And the usual suspects always seemed to be getting into brawls at Chuck E. Cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a man wiser than myself once said, when it comes to certain minorities, or so-called minorities, whites are the real global minority, we're less than 10% of the world's population. But when it comes to some so-called minorities, if they find something that they can't eat or make love to, they tend to tear it up. And that can be true of possessions, it can be true of neighborhoods, it can be true of cities or even civilizations. Well, this time it happened to be at Disneyland, a big viral video. Diversity is Disneyland's greatest strength. Not even Disneyland is exempt from black rascality. And a group of blacks were recently recorded duking it out at the theme park. So this comes from one of the major networks. A group of violent tourists turned Disneyland into the scrappiest place on earth. Horrifying video captures an all-out brawl in front of Toontown at the Disneyland park in front of kids and families, with one heavyset guy repeatedly punching women in the face. "I'm ready to go to jail tonight," screamed the main offender, dressed in a red shirt. "I don't give a blank if I'm on video." And the blank word begins with an F and rhymes with duck. He had appeared to start the argument with a woman pushing a stroller with two young girls in front of Goofy's Playhouse. She was shown spitting on his face, with him taking the first swing, quickly brawling with the man who stepped in. Children could be heard screaming in horror. Now this, I've watched this whole melee, and it lasts over 5 minutes, if you can believe it, at Disneyland. And if you want to see it for yourself, we're going to post it at The Political Cesspool in the coming week. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, so check it out. Now, not all blacks behave this way, of course, but occasionally we need a reminder that the manner in which blacks are portrayed by Hollywood represents the talented 10th, as described by Du Bois. The other 90% remain hidden by the media but can be viewed in public for those with eyes to see. Keith?
Well, they're having more and more of those visions of the other 90%. And believe me, it's not a pretty picture. We've got to, you know, if that takes over America, then we're a lost cause. You know, we're, you know, Western civilization will go down the tubes. That's just the long and the short of it. And it's reported all the time. They've got a so-called conservative radio commentator named Ben Ferguson that has been doing nothing but covering crime in Memphis for the past month. And he never runs out of material. It's just
that, you know. Well, I was just about to say that. You know, honestly. If the purpose of the political cesspool was to showcase and highlight black criminality or so-called minority criminality, it could be Hispanic, Muslim, whatever, that would be all we did. Every minute of every hour of every show, week after week, year after year, and we would never get through it all. But, of course, our show doesn't exist to highlight that. You know what's out there. What we exist to do here is to educate, encourage, uplift, inform, and inspire our people. That is the purpose of the political cesspool. But I've got a couple of equally outlandish and in-your-face examples of what we're talking about here. Keith, a flash mob heist took place in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. And I saw the video to this as well, and it was a group of about 30 young black males. And I don't, it actually is a talent, and I'm not trying to be funny here. I don't see how they can wear their pants and their underwear that low without it just completely falling down to their ankles. But it's the typical dress that you would imagine. And they were all going in there in muscle shirts and their pants hanging down, and it was 30 of them. And they stole $30,000 worth of merchandise from this retail store in 30 seconds. So that was about $1,000 a head, $30,000 in 30 seconds. And the incident was captured on video. Now, Pleasant Prairie is 91.1% white and 2.5% black. And so there was that. And then, you know, when you're talking about murders, rapes, robberies, Joey, this is a story from Sam Bushman's neck of the woods in Salt Lake City in Utah. Joey Allen, a 40-year-old convenience store worker, was fatally stabbed while working the night shift at a Salt Lake City convenience store. The perpetrator, or the suspect, is Tuka Gane. He's 21. He's an African illegal alien from Africa. He was arrested for the murder and aggravated assault hours after the crime took place. But so this thing here with the brawling at Disneyland, okay? The flash mob stealing all of this merchandise. The murder, just a random murder. I mean, these stories, as horrific as they are a dime a dozen. We could cover this kind of stuff every minute of every show, and we'd never run out of material. But the fact of the matter is, they can get away with it. And not only can they get away with it, they are being encouraged and empowered every day. When they see people like the greatest Americans, like Nathan Bedford Forrest, being slandered and libeled and attacked, and they're being uplifted, and everything they do is excused. And not only that, they've got $51 trillion coming their way in reparations if some of these radical malcontents get their way. There is no, I want to say the word discipline, but there is no repercussions. There's really very little risk for them. And it has gotten, we are really descending into third world status, and that's not hyperbole. That is where we are. And you're probably more into the third world than you realize based upon the Democrat graphics of your city. If you live in Selma or Memphis, you're already there. If you live in other places, you've got a few more years, but it is coming unless something changes. And the point of me saying all this is all of this stuff, and this is just three examples of 3 million we could have brought to your attention tonight. It proves that these people that they were attacking, these people that they hate, they were right. They were right. People like Ted Cruz and the establishment, these people who are so weak, they are wrong. We are right, and our audience is right, and we've got to stick to righteousness and truth and never be moved from it. Keith?
Well, we've got to stop voting for people that say they're on our side and rely on our vote, but vote against our interests. That's, you know, like Jim Strickland in Memphis, for example, like Ted Cruz in Texas, like Ron DeSantis in Florida. If they're not going to stand up for us, why would we vote? Waste our votes for. We've got to get people to run that will represent our interests, because if we don't, all of society is going to suffer.
Well, and Keith, too, and who to whom are DeSantis and Ted Cruz pandering to? Not anybody that's going to vote for them. I can guarantee you that Ted Cruz picked up a sum total of 0 votes for him attacking Nathan Bedford Forrest. And by the way, he's lucky he can attack Nathan Bedford Forrest from the grave, because I guarantee you that tubby piece of you-know-what wouldn't have said jack to the general's face. I could tell you that right now. You know, when you compare these two, Cruz and Bedford Forrest, Cruz is flabby physically, mentally, and spiritually compared to a guy like Nathan Bedford Forrest. But he didn't gain anything from this cucking. I mean, he didn't gain any votes. He lost votes. And the same for DeSantis. I mean, both of these guys are going to be voted out in the next election because of demographic replacement. So, you know, what? Cui bono?
Well, you know, they will learn the hard way. They need to learn, just like black politicians learn, that if you betray your base, you have no future in politics. And DeSantis and Cruz and Jim Strickland are about to learn that lesson the hard way. And we've got to show on that. You know what? There are lots of ways to have political influence without winning elections. If you can cause someone who is betraying your interest to lose an election, that has power too. And we need to remember that.
All right, Keith, I know you're chugging back to Tennessee. Where are you at right now?
Well, we're getting close to Memphis, and it's like a Noah's flood here. I mean, you've never seen rain like this. It's just you can barely see, 15 or 20 feet in front of you.
Well, you're going to have to keep them.
Windshield wipers going as fast as they can. And it's just, we're crawling along probably about 40 miles an hour. Thereabouts on a 65-mile-an-hour highway.
Well, keep it between the ditches, brother, and we'll get together with you next week, have you back in the studio next week once you're back home safe and sound. About a minute remaining this segment. Final word to you. Anything we didn't cover tonight that you'd like to cover before we get to Tom Kaczynski and later Gene Andrews in the third hour?
Well, I just want to tell our listening audience that your father had a health emergency, and you need to keep James's father in your prayers. He needs God's protection and defense from all of his health issues right now, and he's a great man, I can tell you that, and truly deserving of your prayers.
Well, thank you very much, Keith, for saying that. I wasn't going to mention it. I mean, it's certainly not a secret, but yes, my father is in the hospital tonight, and it is a very serious situation. I'm going to be going back up to the hospital as soon as the show's over, in fact. It's been the night with him. My brother and my mother and I have been taking shifts at the hospital. And I know, actually, Dad's listening right now. He's tuned in right now on the Unlimited Listen line. So I love you, Dad. I'm glad you're tuned in. And I know God's going to take care of you, and you're going to come through this just fine. And thank you, Keith, for saying that. That was very nice of you. And we'll be back with Tom Kaczynski in the second hour. Stay tuned.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.